the WEEI studios. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station.
There's no rush here. I'll just say that these two sides have driven a hard bargain with each other always. And the Bruins have never really done Jeremy Swayman any real favors. And that goes back to when it seemed like it was going to be an Ullmark Swayman tandem when they first signed Ullmark. Instead, during that season, you remember they signed Tuukka Rask for a little bit and sent Jeremy Swayman down. They've never really made it quite as easy on Swayman as it could be. Obviously, there was the arbitration thing last year. I think at the end of the day, Swayman likes it here so much that he doesn't care. He'll end up getting something in maybe the $7-8 million range, which sounds crazy, but when he has the season that he had last year, an all-star year, and the playoff run he had, that's what he's worth.
DJ Bean last night, early edition, discussing the contract negotiations with Jeremy Swayman.
Is DJ okay?
I don't know.
I heard he was very sick. Does he have what you have, Arcan?
He wishes. I think whatever he has, he's sicker than me.
Okay.
Whatever he has is sicker than me, yes.
Didn't notice that he had, like...
No, I just listened to the clip.
I just listened to the clip.
I didn't watch it very closely. But they're negotiating with Swayman. It's not done yet. We'll play you some of Don Sweeney coming up here in a moment. It has not gone well, the negotiating with Swayman. In fact, Swayman was pissed when they took him to arbitration last year, and Sweeney came out and says, oh, actually, you know, he took us to arbitration.
We took each other.
So we can get into that here in hour number two, Jones and Mega with Arcan on WEEI. You can vote in our big question of the day. How you feeling about Wick a day later? Describe your emotions. Happy, banner 18, that's these two, 73%. Angry, he's leaving too soon, 27%. And I'm angry about the lie. You know, we get this here. 37937. Jones, who the hell are you to tell someone how to spend and use their money?
Yeah, Jones.
Ask yourself, if people were angry at how you spend your money, what would you think? I wouldn't lie to them and tell them my money was a public trust. And I wouldn't lie to them and tell them that I actually care about being paid in parades and not my bank account. That's fine. It's capitalism. You're allowed to do it. What I'm frustrated with is the lie. I'm okay with losing money in the meantime if I get paid in parades. Oh, we're a public trust. Like, all that stuff. And I guess I can get past the lie, but... You know, I don't see the difference at the end of the day with John Henry versus Wick or Kraft versus Wick. You know, and we get texts here, 37937. Jones, the difference is the Celtics never lost because the owner was too cheap. Sure about that? Like, we've talked about, have they gone into the luxury tax in the past? They didn't do it between Garnett and dipping into it last year, save for a quick year with Kyrie. And they didn't commit to that for very long.
They still did it more than most of, like,
right.
Well, more than
right.
Most
how much
of
have they done it recently? Since Garnett left, they've dipped into it twice. And now the bill's coming due and he's running.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that's more my issue with it. And like, can I get past it? Sure, I guess I can get past it. But loss yesterday in all the news flying around with some of the emotions there. And again, how often does this happen? Another text, 37937. Defending champ for sale. Has it ever happened in any sport? I'm not sure. I mean, shortly after titles, yeah. I mean, the Marlins stripped down, as we referenced yesterday.
The Bucks 2 years after they won.
The Bucks.
They had that. So.
2 years, though.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And so, like, right. So shortly
not
after.
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Shortly, definitely. But it's like, Arcan, you said this yesterday. They're picking up the confetti still out there on Boylston Street. And the team's for sale. And that's crazy. And so tapping into some of those emotions, if you want to. At Jones and Mego, you can weigh in, 617-779-7937. Just because I reference Henry one more here, this is in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Fastballs only. Jones backing up John Henry either means he's on the FSG payroll or he's gotten the talk from John Henry's fixer. Look, I don't want John Henry buying the Celtics. I think that'd be a nightmare scenario.
John Henry's fixer, by the way, Rob Bradford.
Who is John Henry's fixer? It's a good question.
They're doing a bad job.
Linda! And so, the idea that we all hate Henry, but like we give these other owners a pass just gets a little frustrating to me. Like, I don't think John Henry's done a good job at all. He's done a terrible job. And I don't like the state of the Red Sox. He spends more in his sport than Robert Kraft does. And so this idea that like, well, we love Robert, but we hate John Henry just didn't really compute to me. And I don't know if it's more noble that he's getting out instead of holding on to the team. I don't know that that's more noble. I mean, he's cashing out entirely to go invest in something else. He used the Celtics as a springboard into something else. Now, Henry's nickel and diming the Red Sox.
You don't think that's more noble?
Well, I don't know.
And to stay and not care and be doing other things and still own the team and not give a crap about
like
it? Like, John Henry, that's not more noble?
Does Wick give a crap about it, or was he just making money off of it to go do something he's actually passionate about? Like, what's the difference?
Well, he also put all the money in and is doing that and is now saying, you know what, my heart isn't into this like it was, and rather than hold the team hostage and do all this other stuff and not give a crap about it, I'm getting out.
Yeah.
Don't we all want John Henry to sell the team?
Yes, like, 100%.
Why is that a problem?
I don't want him buying this team. Well, I don't know. It's just, again, one guy won four times, the other guy won twice. And so I don't think it's all that different. I don't. And
I think the exit
the guy that won four times, we all want to sell the team, don't we?
Yeah.
The exit is the whole thing.
Okay, but it sounds like if Wick was going to keep owning the team, he was going to start running it like John Henry, is what it sounds like to me.
But he's not. He's getting out, and he's giving the opportunity for maybe one of his business partners who are in ownership
to keep spending it this way. Just like John Henry doesn't want to spend on the Red Sox.
Yeah, but he's not draining from the Celtics to go run tequila.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. John Henry, I don't like how John Henry's running the team right
now.
John
Henry could sell the team to someone who treats it worse than he does. I mean, that could happen too, all right? He spends even less than John Henry.
Don't challenge me.
Yeah, I mean, let's see who Wick sells
it
to.
Is that a dare?
Like, this
idea that, like, Wick cares so much more than John Henry? Not so sure about that.
By the way, the Lakers right now, J.J. Redick is introducing Bronny James, and it is funny, man.
I can't even hear it, but
I know it's funny.
John Henry, it was, whatever, 5-6 years ago, so it's not like it's super recent, but John Henry has had the top payroll in the sport and paid for it just like Wick has.
I thought this was a Bruins segment.
It is, but it's just like, you know, this idea about the difference, I don't see the difference all that much. I don't. But you can jump in. 617-779-7937. Dylan is in Plymouth. Go ahead on the Swayman contract.
Hey, guys. Yeah. In regards to Swayman, I think it's a genuine embarrassment that we haven't locked him up. And even more embarrassing that we not only traded Ullmark, but we're signing a bunch of free agents like it's this foregone conclusion that Swayman's going to get signed. It's not. And all of these little signings and whatnot, not going to matter if Swayman doesn't want to sign with us. And we're lowballing him and nickel and diming. Really, at this point, probably the heart and soul of the team who loves it here. And it's just kind of embarrassing to watch. And the last thing I'll say is that have a little bit of optimism with the new owners for, you know, the Celtics. And in regards to John Henry, I don't think he's that bad. Also, fun fact, one of the girls I went to school with is his niece.
Oh, well, there you go. Rich. That is very much a fun fact.
A fun fact.
That might be somebody on the John Henry payroll. But when it comes to...
Was that the fixer?
Don't be so worried about the next owner. That could be the fixer. The names we just read from were, again, Henry, Kraft, and Sovereign Wealth Funds. So, like, I don't know. I don't love those options. Paliuka, in fairness, is also on that list. I'm pretty confident the Bruins are going to pay Swayman. But every day that goes by, I do wonder what's taking so long. You know, like,
not just every day that goes by, but every slice of the pie that gets eaten up by some other contract is what's bothering me. Like, you know, if you're gonna commit to something like that, and I think we all agree Swayman's the most important player on the team at this moment. I think he is. And you're doing all these other things, big contracts with long term, and letting that sort of sit there. You don't have a ton of space left. You still have other things you got to do.
They have $10 million. That's what they don't have space for. So, like, they don't have space to do other things. If you're giving Swayman $8 million, they're gonna have another $2 million.
They're gonna have to give him more. It's fair for him to ask for more. The Islanders and Winnipeg just gave an AAV of 8.25 and 8.5 to both of their goaltenders. Neither of their numbers
Sorokin is one of them.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And the other one, I honestly can't pronounce his name.
I thought when I looked it up the other day, the top five goalies, it dropped off pretty quickly once you got to five. I think you're outside of the eights. I thought. Do you have those numbers up in front
Hellebuck,
of you?
Is Hellebuck the other one?
Hellebuck is the other one. And he got 8.5, and his numbers aren't as good as Swayman's. Swayman's been splitting the load.
I was going to say, Hellebuck's one of Vesna.
Okay.
I thought we didn't care
about the Vesna anymore.
No, but I'm just telling you.
The agents do.
I'm just telling you. I mean, Hellebuck.
Yeah, but I'm saying I think that Swayman is probably pushing for over eight, and they are balking at that.
Hellebuck's
I don't have that information, but I would guess that.
Hellebuck's also won playoff series, unlike Ullmark, rather. So,
Swayman has.
Swayman has.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, if it's 8.2 or 8, really, what's the difference? At the end of the day, we're haggling over it, but, like, the thing's going to be the same at the end of the day. They're going to have about $2 million to play around with for the rest of their roster. So are other pieces coming and going? I don't know. But in the meantime, I'm pretty confident it's going to get done. I'm a little nervous when I listen to Sweeney, about Jeremy Swayman. Can I hear this yesterday? It's quick.
Sway's a big part of this whole dynamic of what we were trying to put together. It's a priority for us. We're going to continue to find a negotiated landing spot. And, the timing is what it is, you know, however long that takes. It's not impacted by what we did today. We're in a great spot to find, as I said, the best negotiated deal we can find for both sides.
Okay. So, like, I don't think that's what you're into. I think what I'm worried about, Arkan, is if I wake up tomorrow and they've paid somebody $2 million, well, now, oh, Jeremy, you want 8.2? We can't give
can't
it to
do
you.
It.
Like right now today, they can give him 8.2. They can give him 10 if they wanted to, based on where they're at in relation to the cap. If they have another signing or another $2 million signings, there's now going to be a ceiling there where it's like, hey, you know, Jeremy, we want to do this, but we can't do it. We can't do it. And if it really is going to get ugly, they have his rights and they can do what they did to him last year and they can go to arbitration again. If you really want to get ugly with that, you're shaking your head back there. Like, they can do that.
That would be so rotten.
Of course it would be. But, like,
well, the fact that they're dragging it out to this point is pretty insulting, I think, if you're Jeremy Swayman and his representation right now. You're looking at this and going, okay, you're spending money. You had $20 million, and now you've decided, all right, we're going to prioritize these other things, these outside free agents, and bring all those in. And if we have enough money left over for you, Jeremy, we'll sign you to a number that maybe we can all agree on. You're probably not going to love it, but it's all we're going to have left because we have to get this guy, and we have to get that guy, and you're our third, fourth, whatever priority. That's if I'm Jeremy Swayman, I'm saying bleep you guy, like I'm out of here. I'm not going to stick around for this.
Why would you fire, you know, his number one competition in Linus Hallmark into the sun?
That too,
and
yeah.
Then proceed to not care of this early.
He's got a lot of leverage, I think, and mm-hmm. So
Swayman does absolutely.
Let's see if the Bruins start pushing back. By the way, on Hellebuck, he's won two Vezinas. He's also been to a Western Conference final, and he's a free agent.
And he went to UMass
Lowell. Or was when he got his deal, right? And Allmark's not. So let's see if the league pays Allmark. I don't think the league likes Allmark all that much. The league does like Hellebuck. And let's see how much the Bruins like Swayman. But if they want to, they can play hardball. They can say, yeah, you're a restricted free agent. Tough. And so we're not paying you what you want. And if you're not happy with it, we'll take you to arbitration again.
It's going to be condo shopping in Dallas in less than a year.
I mean, look, it wasn't Sweeney, but it was the Jeremy Jacobs ownership group. They'll take Ray Bourque to arbitration. They could do it with someone like Jeremy Swayman. So mostly, I think yesterday should have been a good day for Jacobs. I was ready to come in and say the Bruins were following the Celtics model. Look at what the Bruins are doing. They're spending now on talent because they saw the Celtics, and this is how you got to do it.
And they're selling.
And it turns out the Celtics sell. And Jeremy Jacobs, let's see if they bust balls with Swayman or not. I'm not sure. But as of today, they have $10 million. They can pay him. I don't think it's embarrassing in the meantime. I disagree with your wording there. But if they start signing guys and now the cap space is down to $7.5 million, and they're playing hardball with Swayman that way, like that's going to be a bad look. It will be a bad look. And that's the kind of thing that will be held against. Swayman's not happy with any of these negotiations. As DJ
he's
just said,
he's never been happy with any negotiations
never been easy.
Ever had. Yeah.
And who's not that he's this athlete, and it's not the first time we've made this comparison, because Arkan, you can compare to Omar to the Betts move.
I did.
But Mookie Betts was never happy with the Red Sox at every stop in their negotiations.
Every goalie is Mookie Betts.
And every Bruins goalie is Mookie Betts.
Tuukka Rask, Mookie Betts.
And ultimately, it became more and more contentious, and they had to trade him. So, like, I hope we're not going down that path with Jeremy Swayman. They should pay him. They should get it done.
Anton Hudobin?
Whatever bum-ass $2 million player you want to pay for, wait and get Swayman done. And it should already be done.
Byron Defoe.
617-779-7937.
Put in Swayman.
You can jump in here on the Bruins. Sweeney also talked about some of the signings they made yesterday. Lindholm and Zadorov. You can get into those signings. We didn't spend a ton of time on it yesterday with the news with the Celtics. We'll dip into some of that right after Trending with Arkan.
I wanted to talk about the two goalies. I don't think it matters who comes first.
Trust me, it matters.
Jones and Mego. It matters.
It dovetails off of why Zadorov decided to join us. Both players identified a very competitive environment with the culture and the opportunity, the fit for both them personally on the ice as well as their family dynamic. Way back in the draft, you know, we identify Elias as a player that has a lot of the Bergeron qualities. This has been, you know, kudos to our scouting staff and following these guys and watching the growth of Zadorov, but also acknowledging where Elias remains in his, you know, in his career and bringing the attributes he does. It's kind of been a 2-year pursuit, to tell you the truth, wondering maybe down the road if he would ever get to free agency. Had chances at the deadline to, you know, to maybe get in there, but, you know, didn't necessarily materialize. So when this presented, we were very happy.
A Bergeron replacement is what Elias Lindholm is, according to Don Sweeney.
Merci, Patrice.
You can get into it here on Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI. I thought there were no Bergeron replacements. I thought he was irreplaceable. I thought you couldn't do it. Even though they basically got similar production a year ago, and now they've had a two-year pursuit of this guy, they just magically have a Bergeron replacement. In Sweeney's words.
Right.
Have a Bergeron replacement. All right, interesting.
He's a diet Bergeron. It's not quite full Bergeron.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. But it wasn't all that hard to find one, was it? A year later, it's like, oh, just pay for one in free agency. He's right out there. Huh. Interesting how that works.
He might suck, so he might. We'll see.
He might. A couple of texts, 37937. You guys are donkeys. That's all of us.
Nice.
I like this texter. This guy
calls
us.
Usually you.
This guy calls us. I know. He says, you guys are donkeys.
I believe I'm a Jenny then. Isn't that what we call a female donkey?
I didn't think so.
Or is that a mule? I'll look it up. Yeah, I'll effort this. You kid.
Yeah.
Female donkey is called a Jenny or a Jennet.
Wow. Ooh.
Never knew that.
I prefer Jenny, not Jennet. I identify as a Jenny.
Okay, Jenny.
You guys are donkeys.
And a Jenny.
Not just me. You want to pay a goalie starting money when he's never been a starter.
Male donkeys are called Jacks. Females are Jennies.
I want to pay him. Yeah. You don't want Jeremy Swayman? You don't want to pay him? If you're not going to give him $7 million, $7.5 million, $8 million, you're not going to get him.
So I'm sorry. So we don't pay starting goalies when they have started through the playoffs and actually won a round?
Not if they're Jeremy Swayman. You don't start him. You keep it. You make sure you wait until last second before you play him in the playoffs.
Right, you donkey caller.
And then you get to the end, and it's like, all right, we're maybe not going to pay you. We're going to do everything else, and then we'll consider paying our starting goalie.
No. Let's throw out $2 million to some random guy you bring in.
Yeah, so to me, yeah, I want to pay him. And does he look like a guy who can't handle the starting share? Like, to me, you saw him in the postseason last year. He's fine. Oh, he's never played in the postseason. He can't do it. Well, he did. And he was arguably the best player on the ice in the two series that they had. And so, yeah, I think he's capable of it. It's a projection. And I'm not necessarily paying for what he's done. I'm sure the Bruins are leveraging him that way. Like, the guy on the text line here is doing Don Sweeney's job for him. Because I'm sure that's what Sweeney is saying to Swayman's agent. Well, he's only played 44 games. Whose fault is that? Swayman wanted to play.
Right.
You should have moved on from Ullmark before that and given him the net. Maybe this is all part of their strategy. Maybe this is all part of their thought process. Let's keep the number down. We're going to manage him early. Once we get him locked up, then we're going to run him into the ground. Then we're going to play him 55, 57, 58, 60 games a year. That's what we're going to do. And so, I don't know. I wouldn't rule that out. But yeah, I want to pay him. I like him. I think he's good. I want to pay him. And if it costs $8 million, so be it. I'll pay it.
What are you saving the money for? Who are you saving the money for?
Goalie Bob extension.
Do you have somebody else that you're like, no, don't give it to Swayman.
Him? Sweeney's always been about depth and signing these little depth pieces. That's been a thing he's done every year. So, you know, I mean, there was a couple of big ones that were given out here, a couple of big contracts with long term, and that's good. I like that. I thought that was a little different from what he usually does. But that's usually what he goes for. What he normally goes for are depth pieces all up and down the roster.
Yeah. Who's more worth their contract? Lindholm, meaning Hampus, or Swayman. Like, I'd much rather give Jeremy Swayman his money, and if I got to figure it out down the line how I got to peel off pieces, well, then I'll figure it out. But yeah, I'm ready to pay him that money. He's up. I know he's restricted. If you want to bust his balls and piss him off, go ahead. He was already pissed off last year. Maybe you responded well to it. If you want to go down that road and making arguably your franchise player, or one of them anyway, along with Pastrnak, along with McAvoy, you want to go down that road, go right ahead. I don't want to go down that road. You could also, according to the text line, 37937.
It does sound like me.
It does. That's true. Was that just a Mego drop? What was that?
It's saying split up the Jays.
Trading Ullmark without already having a deal in place for Swayman is foolish. So that I'll disagree with. I mean, if they have no idea what Swayman wants at the negotiating table, well, then that's foolish. But my guess is they know what he wants, and they're haggling over I don't know what. No trade clauses. They're haggling over.
That's never gotten them in trouble with it.
Signing bonus money. Like, I don't think all of a sudden Sweeney traded Ullmark and he goes to Swayman and he goes, hey, what do you want for an AAV? Like, I'm sure they know what they want for an AAV. And so they're haggling over signing bonuses, no movement clauses, you know, maybe $500,000 here and there. My guess is they're close. And the team is probably busting balls. I'm sure that's what they're doing. But my guess is they're close. I don't think they had no idea. And in their mind, they have wiggle room. If they take him to arbitration again, then let's look at that. Let's look at it and go, what were they doing moving Ullmark when they weren't sure they had Swayman? Or I guess they'll have his rights either way. but they weren't sure they could work out an extension with Swayman. Maybe that was dangerous. But right now, I bet they're... It's like the Jaylen Brown contract a year ago. It's like, why is it taking so long? Mm-hmm. What's going on? What are they haggling over? Well, they were figuring out some last-minute things, which they didn't do with Tatum, by the way. But then they ultimately got that done. My guess is this one gets done, too. I don't want to freak out about it in the meantime. But if they take him to the arbitration process, then I was wrong about that.
When Jones freaks out, it sounds like... I was waiting
close
for my donkey.
Yep, she gets to my ear, get the donkey ready. Yeah, yeah, here's a joke. Here's a singer.
Yep. Yeah.
Come on, stupid producer. Dance for me.
No, it was that's the Mego sound. He couldn't play it because that's just the Mego sound. That's not a Jones sound.
You know, I have my own special drop. I'm not going to have a donkey noise now.
Your own special drop? You said you wanted a donkey noise. Gotcha.
Who is it, Jones or Mego? You can jump in. 617-779-7987.
Jack or Jenny?
It's asking if it was buy-in.
So where does Lindholm fit into all of this? And who is he playing with? This is something we were hashing out yesterday off the air. I don't think we ever discussed it on the air. Lindholm is going to play with Pastrnak, I would say, obviously. I'd imagine Zaka's on that line as well. Zaka and Pastrnak have shown a lot of chemistry. I'm thinking if you're going to keep one of those two guys... They both need to be in your top six, meaning Zaka and Coyle. If you're going to keep one at center, the guy to keep is Coyle, I would think. I don't believe the Bruins are going to go down the middle. Lindholm, Zaka, Coyle, though I guess there's an argument to be made for that. They have a lot of depth centers, a lot of guys who can play at center.
Matty Potts, he'll be back.
Patra's going to be back.
Beecher.
So my guess is you're moving Zaka to the wing. You're going to play Lindholm with Pastrnak on that top line. Then you need a wing for Marchand and Coyle, is my guess. And so who's that going to be? Where's that player going to come from? Is that a signing for $2 million and change? Maybe they have a little bit more. If they can get Swayman to take a number closer to 7.5 than 8, or closer to 7 than 8, maybe they have a little more wiggle room. Maybe you got to make a trade. I mean, maybe there's a piece you got to peel off the roster to fill that gap. But as it sits right now, if you get Swayman sorted out, that's the hole left on the team. Unfortunately, you still have a hole in your top six. Even with all the moves they made yesterday, you still have a hole in your top six.
Go. Who's the winger they signed from the Ducks?
Max Jones?
Jones.
Yeah, I think he's...
Your cousin, Max Jones.
I think he's a bottom six, fourth line type of player, I think.
Okay.
But, you know, I thought Geeky was a bottom six guy. He probably is on a good team, but he got plenty of top 6 minutes last year.
Frederick, too.
It's probably a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, where do you want Trent Frederick to play? So if you're talking about pieces to peel off, and I don't know if Frederick helps if you're taking him away, is Frederick a piece that would have some trade value? It's interesting. Lindholm is a name we discussed. Who else could you move? Ryan brought up Marchand. Like, you know, if you want to pull a wick and get out while the getting's good on Marchand.
Is Ryan mad at you?
Get a good profit. You can. I just, again, now you're creating more problems in your top six. But I would listen on moving Marchand. I would listen to that. And I'm like the number one Marchand guy. But I get it. He's older. He wasn't as productive last year. His number looks more and more affordable as you go along. But if you can get something good, I'd listen on that for sure. But right now, that's the question. With how it all fits together, I think they're better. But they did lose DeBrusk, who was not reliable, but he was great in the postseason last year.
And he had hot streaks through the last two seasons.
Yeah. And
for
so
sure.
They still got to figure that out. But on paper, I'd rather have the top line center. And, you know, what is Lindholm an actual top-line center on a championship-caliber team? We're going to figure it out. But he's definitely a top-six guy, a guy who can, you know, bring some offensive punch, even though he fell off last year, which is the real red flag, right? Last season, he had 44 points in 75 games. Before that, it had been 64. Before that, it had been 82. And so, I don't know, if you could pencil him in for 20-plus goals in a 50-point season, 60-point season, I'm feeling pretty good about that. But is that worth... You know, almost $8 million a year. I don't know.
I think it's still a better problem to have when you're looking at having... I'm not going to pretend like it's elite talent that you're bringing in, but it's really good. Like, it's really strong talent to put up there. And hopefully... I think it's like... I know we're talking about the frustration with Swayman, but I do think it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to reach something with Swayman. And so, like, okay, these other little pieces that you have to figure out and move around... I mostly, as Arcan said, like, they're pretty good at finding these little depth pieces. So I mostly don't worry about that as much as if you'd be sitting there and you would have these, like, giant gaping holes.
Yeah.
I do think they're better.
I do, too. But we can debate how much better. Like, between, you know, getting Zadorov in your top four is good. And finding a center when that was an issue for them last year. I think the production was better than anyone expected, but you could use another center.
Well,
on this
until
team.
The playoffs when they got killed up the middle. I mean, that was in both series, I thought. Even against Toronto, I thought they had real trouble.
We heard a lot about that against Toronto, and then they won the series. But
right.
But I agree. You can do better. I'm not saying the Bruins were perfect there, but I think they got a lot more production than we expected the year after Bergeron and Krejci left. But they can improve, and they did improve.
Yeah, they did. And they've, I think, I don't know if they've completely settled that position now for the future, because again, I don't know what Beecher and Potters are going to be. I don't know if that's something that you give. Those are two guys you can look at and say, these are our guys on the third and fourth line, and if we need to bump them up to one and two, we're comfortable with that. Like, that's really what you need when you have young centermen. You need to know that they're worth investing in for the future, especially when, you know, Charlie Coyle's getting up there now. What's he, 30 something? Like, he's, you know, he's not a young guy anymore. And you know, it seems to me like there's always going to be holes on the roster. It's just, that's the nature of the sport. And that's the way it's sort of set up right now. And you've got a lot of money committed to the defense. And really, I think this was the one aspect where I would have gone overboard. Lindholm's a good start for sure, but I think you can even do more.
You know what? I'll tell you, this is a good name in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Mattled 3, am I saying that right? Probably not. Trade Carlo. Like, I mean, that's another name that could move. I mean, they have now, I would say, some depth after the Zadorov signing. Who, by the way, this is Don Sweeney on what Zadorov is going to bring to the table for the Bruins. That was their 1B signing yesterday, a big physical guy on the back end. Here's what Sweeney had to say about that.
I mean, the presence that Z brings, you know, is important to us. Playing in a lot of top 4 minutes in the playoff against top guys comes with a bit of swagger. Has certainly seen his game grow and probably get a little more defined in what he's capable of doing. Early in his career, he was a lot of nights out to try and make an impact, and he made it for both teams at times, like all young players do that are aggressive in that sense. And now he really kind of understands his game and what he brings to the table. He's very excited, obviously. You know, I think his quote stands for itself, and excited to join the Boston Bruins, have a chance to play with Charlie McAvoy if that's how it lines up, and the team. He was very intent when we found out he had interest in Boston for all the right reasons. And that's why we're excited about bringing him in.
Okay. So, you know, if you're talking about moving money around,
sounds
Carlo,
like he's on The Bachelor. He's here for the right reasons.
He's here for the right reasons. And he said in a separate interview that he doesn't want to be called Big Z there. He was distancing himself from that very much.
Probably smart.
But Carlo makes $4 million plus. And so now you're paying Zadorov $5 million for the next 6 years.
Carlo has a no trade clause, too.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm
like
sure they
ten,
all
have a 10 team, player, right. a 10 team no trade clause.
Okay. I'm
for
sure
next
they
year.
Do. But, like, again, most players not named Linus Ullmark aren't babies about that. Oh, the team doesn't want me anymore. They don't believe in me anymore. Fine. You can trade me. Like, that's how most players deal with that. Not baby-ass Ullmark, but most players. That's how they deal with that. And so that might be one that makes sense. Again, maybe Frederick is one where you're trying to carve out a couple of million here or a couple of million there to add to your top six.
I don't think you're right about that, by the way, about the no trade clause, because there's a reason why they all put these clauses into their contracts. I mean, it's not like it's more than any other sport. And I feel like in the NHL, for whatever reason, they feel like we want to protect ourselves from getting sent to some bad team.
But guys get
and
traded.
Ruining our. Well, I know.
But guys get traded all the time.
Right. And that's why they're putting the no trade clauses in, because they feel it's very damaging to them to get traded to a bad team that hurts their value, and no one ever hears from them again. So they get to a team like the Bruins and they want to stay there because you're in the spotlight. Montreal, you know, all these other teams, there's real haves
Bruins
and haves
have,
not in the
Bruins
NHL.
Have traded tons of guys over the years. They've had trouble trading one.
Look what they just went through with Ullmark. Like,
yeah.
The one that you said. Like, they had to struggle for a year to try to find some landing spot.
And you also don't know who else they tried to trade.
That's an Ullmark thing, though. That's not the Bruins trade guys all the time. They traded tons of guys.
Of course they have. You don't know who they tried to trade and they couldn't because of the no trade clause. Where's probably having
the
bunch.
I feel like that's always a little bit of a impossible argument.
Yeah, where'd they trade Taylor Hall to? Didn't they trade Taylor Hall to the Blackhawks? They're the worst team in the league. And so, like,
but
I don't.
The Devils?
I thought it was the Blackhawks. And
maybe
so,
right.
Like, they usually don't have trouble trading guys. There's one guy
Blackhawks
they've had trouble trading.
Blackhawks are a big market with a big fan base, though. I mean, it's not like getting sent to Ottawa. You know, it's a little different.
They're a horrible team. Oh, I thought you were leaning in to say it was. I thought you were
No, I was just, as long as we're piling on, terrible team, the Blackhawks have all kinds of ridiculous scandals attached to them, too.
True. Yeah,
sure, I'm going to start and build the culture there.
Yeah, I just, they've had trouble trading one guy. So anyway, Carlo has a no-movement clause. It's not irrelevant, but, 20 teams you can trade him to, figure it out. If you want to rework things, if not, this is your team, and this is my point. This is your team. You signed Lindholm. You got bigger and more physical on the back end. Is that enough? Is that enough to make a run? Is that enough to contend? And my feeling is yes. I mean, they almost made a run last year, for God's sakes. Now, their problem is you got to deal with Florida. You got to play your way through Florida. But they've been close with Florida the last 2 years. And so adding these pieces, can they get by Florida when Florida's a little worse? They've lost Montour? Maybe. And if you can get past Florida and you can play with Florida, you can play with anybody, as we've come to learn. And so I don't think they're that far away. They do have a hole in their top six, but largely they got better. They should be contenders this year. And so let's see where that goes. And I hope Sweeney isn't done. We know he's still going to get Swayman dealt with, but I hope they attack that gap in their top six. That's something they should be looking at.
Yeah, I was just bringing up, I was looking for this because we discussed it, I think, a week ago from Kevin Paul DuPont from the Boston Globe when he said right after the Allmark trade happened, he said, changes at hand, possibly the most sizable black and gold roster reconfiguration since July 2006. Does this feel like that? Does this feel like the biggest? I mean, I know there's
Allmark out and two big free
Allmark
agents
out,
in. Yeah,
Jake DeBress gone. Yeah, some of these other free agents gone.
It's substantial.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to look at every offseason in between, but like this is one of their more active big move offseasons in a while. And I think this team
in
is
terms
needed.
Of bringing guys, yeah, they've lost Bergeron and Chara and Krejci and all these people over the years. But yeah, in terms of replacing them, I feel like this is right up there.
Yeah, and those guys all retired. And right. So it's like, you know, I mean, they chose not to bring back DeBrus. They chose to trade Allmark. Guys aren't retiring.
So they're setting the expectation that it's going to be a serious run next postseason.
I mean, it should be. I mean, they're right there. They have their goalie now. They have
Well, just because we went through an entire season of like, oh, this is a bridge, and what do you expect? They're up against the cap. They can't do anything. It's a different expectation.
Yeah. I mean, look, I thought they were contenders last year. I mean, they were in the mix for the best record in the NHL last year until the final month of the year. And so I thought they were contenders last year. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on the phones. Jones and Mego with Arcan. You can still vote in our big question of the day up now at Jones and Mego. How you feeling about Wick over 24 hours later, now that we've had time to wrap our head around his decision to move forward with selling the Boston Celtics? You can jump in there. All your thoughts on the Bruins as well. Plus, we'll get to the Patriots. Another middling contract handed out to another middling player. What are they doing? How do we feel about the direction of that franchise? That's next.
It's weird, right? It's weird.
Yes.
I'm just embracing it.
Jones and Mego. Nah, you're right. It's weird.
From the 24-yard line. Over the middle. Tony juggles and it's picked by Jelani Tavai. And now Tavai throws it away. What is he doing? Out of bounds. Patriots maintain possession.
Another contract handed out by the Patriots, Jelani Tavai, the latest. Not as shocking as Wick selling the Celtics, which we'll get back into, but I'm pretty stunned by this one. I did not expect the Patriots to be paying this guy right now when Matt Judon is up. I wouldn't give Devon Godchow a cent, but like he's squawking about his deal. I didn't realize they were paying this guy on top of Stevenson and Onwenu and Duggar and Uche, although Uche's already pissed about his contract too. He just got it, but he's already pissed about it. Who are the other ones I'm missing? Bourne, Hunter Henry. I didn't realize they were going to pay this guy too. How do you feel about it, Mego? Jelani Tavai, $15 million. I think he can earn up to $21 million, if I'm not mistaken. 3-year deal for a linebacker that I'm going to say most people, hardcore Patriots fans maybe, most fans really aren't even familiar with the guy's work. Or if you were, he was out there on the team, but I didn't realize he was itching to get paid or that I was going to pay him. I didn't think that was on the radar for the Pats to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's Jag Tavai. Like, he's the epitome of a Jag. I mean, he's played every game for the last two seasons, so I don't want to take that away from him. Like, that's nice. He's a nice guy. I don't understand when we talk about the precedent-setting conversation on your team, what you're going to do with these guys when you turn around and pay one person and then you have hold-ins or quasi-hold-ins. Once training camp starts, how do you explain that? And if the predictions are correct and you have, you know, a one-win season or three-win seasons and everybody's coming to you in the offseason with their hands out saying like, okay, hey, just like last year, right? You know, I don't get it. I really don't. To me, I don't want to complain about them spending money, and so I'm split.
I
look at it and I go,
when it's these guys, I do. When you're spending money on so forgettable players, I do want to complain
about
it.
We're making the assumption that it's going to be at the expense of anything coming from the outside for the offense. And so I feel like that's jumping to a conclusion that I don't really know. Like, the only evidence that I have of that is the Calvin Ridley situation.
Thank you. That's what I was
just
going to
say. That's the only evidence that we have that there has been them pointing to one guy and saying, we're not going to overpay for somebody from the outside. We're going to shore up what we have on the side of the ball that we like. And so, like, that's the only situation I can point to that. I don't know that they haven't been kicking the tires on Ayuk and saying, like, whoa, that price is going to be way too much. We're going to have to pay him multiple times, essentially, for his contract situation.
I don't know that either.
I don't know that that's the case. I would guess it probably is.
But what do you think? Thank you. What do you think?
So, like, I'm split on this. I got to look at it and say, like, if anything else, you're setting a really weird precedent.
I'm not split.
When you're not addressing Holden's.
I'm not split. If you like Jelani Tavai, this is what I said about Ramondre Stevenson. What's the rush to pay these guys now? And, like, what? Instead of throwing money at Stevenson and Tavai, who don't need contracts, couldn't you use that money to throw in a little extra on your offer to Calvin Ridley? I connected exactly to that. So it's like, you don't have to pay these guys right now. And there is no rush to pay these guys right now. There is a rush to get a receiver for Drake May to throw to. At least there should be. There should be an urgency to upgrade the offense. Stevenson was on the team either way. Tavai was on the team either way. Godchow, I'm not giving you another penny because you're on the team either way. Judon has made the best case for getting paid and tearing up his deal, but you already got fronted money last year and you were hurt. So, like, I'm not really even itching to pay him, but I think he has the best case to pay for guys who are under contract. Like, I don't get the rush. And if you're telling me I could throw new money at Stevenson, new money at Tavai, and subtract another player, Duggar or whoever, and they're not back and I get Calvin Ridley, that's what I wish they did. And the real truth in the matter, Arkand, is they had money to pay everybody,
right,
and they're choosing not to.
Yeah, they absolutely could have. They could have paid everyone they wanted to. They could have extended everybody that they wanted to, all their unrestricted free agents, all these guys now who had a year left on their deal, like Barmore and, you know, all these other guys that just got paid. Like, they could have done all of that and also spent. What they're doing right now here is really pushing all their chips into the middle of the idea that, okay, this team last year, almost exactly how it was constituted, with a couple of changes, one big one at quarterback, but for the most part, basically the exact same team, is so much better than what you saw last year. What you saw last year was a mirage. What you saw last year was a team that should have been much better, and they weren't, because Bill Belichick didn't know how to coach them and he didn't know what he was doing.
Right.
And that's what they're saying. That's what all of this is saying to me. That's how they're speaking it. That's what all of the actions and everything are saying. And that's just such a big bet to make on a 4-win team.
Well, and you're going to expose yourself by bringing all these guys back. Like, you're going to be exposed.
Yeah.
If you bring these guys back and the team's equally bad, well, then it wasn't Bill. It's the crappy roster, and it's your lack of investment in the team. So I would have, and I said this all along, and I got tons of pushback. Oh, well, there are good players on the team. Why wouldn't you bring back some players from last year? Everybody on the team last year was bad? Yeah, kind of. And I definitely don't need guys like this back.
They weren't good enough to win more than 4 games.
Yeah, and look at some of the trash quarterbacks they lost to last year. Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Love the signing. Tavai is not a Jag, Mego.
Oh, you're right. You know what? When I was at the Brady ceremony, it was crazy because I was like, oh, these people with the Tavai jerseys, they don't appreciate the past.
Well, the whole Gillette, the whole thing, all 60,000, 68,000, whatever it was for Brady and I were like, when are they signing Tavai? When are they going to do it? And again, that's
Jelani
fine.
Jelani Tavai could have probably walked through the crowd.
That's fine.
Not been recognized by
that. Like, I'm not saying he's not a nice player.
He's a good player.
You can be a good player.
Well, you did call him a Jag.
Okay, that's a nice player.
Is it?
That's a good player.
I don't know
if that's the
implication, but whatever. I'm fine with you calling him
a Jag.
I have no problem. I just wouldn't. Now, you can't turn around and be like, he's good. Like, you called him a Jag. That's fine. He is a Jag. I don't disagree with you.
He was one of the better Patriots. you could say that at least.
Okay, but like, to me, again, even if he is a nice player and you want to pay him, you have to do it right this second? Like, what's the rush to do it now? Why couldn't you add from outside to the team this offseason and then actually deal with your impending free agents when they're free agents? Like, you didn't need to pay Stevenson now. You didn't need to pay Tavai now. And maybe you saved a few bucks. Maybe. I can't imagine Tavai goes out and has another year like last year and his number goes up all that much. This is the number now, and there's no one else bidding on it. Maybe it goes up slightly. No one wants Jelani Tavai.
A year like last year? What kind of
year did he have? I have no clue. I don't know.
He was tied for second on the team in tackles.
Yeah, tackles. Who cares? He fell on top of some piles.
Do they tackle guys in football? Does that happen on every single play?
You know why the Patriots probably had good tackle numbers? Because guess what? The other team had the ball the whole game, and they needed to tackle the other team.
Do they have a running back lead in receiving yards again? Because I feel like they're not focusing on stats that actually are more important than other stats.
The whole thing is annoying. It's annoying is what it is. And so I don't get what they're trying to do. I really don't get the plan. I don't agree with the plan. And I am going to complain about them paying some players. Here's my general stance. Pay good players. And don't pay guys who don't need to be paid, A. And B, aren't really that good. Tavai was good, for a 4-win team last year, I guess. Is he actually good? Jury's out. Don't get why they're paying him. Didn't need to pay him. Same thing with Ramondre Stevenson. Same thing with Godchaw. Heaven forbid they give him a dime. They shouldn't. And that's how I feel about it. The whole thing is weird.
It's just, again, I think it goes back to precedent. And I don't understand what they're trying to set. It seems like they're being inconsistent. And I think it's going to be a little, it could cause a little weirdness with the team when some of your better players, like, I do think Godchaw is a good player. And so he's been paid before. That's the precedent you set for him, by the way. He's like Bill Belichick was here. He's a bigger hard ass than you guys are, and he paid me. And now I'm sitting here like watching Tavai get paid.
Yeah, the number just went up. If you're Matt Judon, the number just went way up.
I was just going to say, like, are they doing this so they can go, oh, listen, Matt, we really like you, Matthew. We really think that you're important to this team, but we did just sign Jelani Tavai. We did just sign.
Josh Uche got all that money.
If I'm Judon, I'm going, I don't care. Like, I make an impact on this team and have made an impact on this team year after year after year, and you're just finding more guys to pay that are not me.
People were asking yesterday, or maybe it was a text earlier today, I forget. Has it ever happened that a championship team has gone out and sold like moments after they won? I can't think of one. I also can't think of a team that won 4 games and is locking the whole roster up. Like, I also can't think of that. But unprecedented times in Boston. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on the phones talking Pats. We'll get back into the Celtics. Real quick, Skelly 513, S. Kelly 513 in the Twitch chat corrects me. Chara left. I forgot Chara left.
Chara did leave, yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
The other guy's retired.
He was in Washington.
Yeah, Capitals, Washington Islanders. Did he go to the Islanders as well?
At the end,
he went to a couple of... I actually totally forgot about that. Thumbs up in the back from intern Jacob. Hat tip there to the Twitch chat. My mistake. We'll get to your phone calls here coming up. We'll get back to your feelings on Whit Grosbeck selling the Celtics. That's next.
That's weird, right? It's weird.
Yes.
I'm just embracing it.
Jones and Nego. Nah, you're right. It's weird.
From the 24-yard line. Over the middle, Tony juggles, and it's picked by Jelani Tavai. And now Tavai throws it away. What is he doing? Out of bounds, Patriots maintain possession.
Another contract handed out by the Patriots, Jelani Tavai, the latest. Not as shocking as Wick selling the Celtics, which we'll get back into, but I'm pretty stunned by this one. I did not expect the Patriots to be paying this guy right now. When Matt Judon is up, I wouldn't give Devon Godchaw a cent, but like he's squawking about his deal. I didn't realize they were paying this guy on top of Stevenson and Onwenu and Duggar and Uche, although Uche's already pissed about his contract too. He just got it, but he's already pissed about it. Who are the other ones I'm missing? Bourne, Hunter Henry. I didn't realize they were going to pay this guy, too. How do you feel about it, Mego? Jelani Tavai, $15 million. I think he can earn up to $21 million, if I'm not mistaken. 3-year deal for a linebacker that I'm going to say most people, hardcore Patriots fans maybe, most fans really aren't even familiar with the guy's work. Or if you were, he was out there on the team, but I didn't realize he was itching to get paid or that I was going to pay him. I didn't think that was on the radar for the Pats to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's Jag Tavai. Like, he's the epitome of a Jag. I mean, he's played every game for the last 2 seasons, so I don't want to take that away from him. Like, that's nice. He's a nice guy. I don't understand when we talk about the precedent-setting conversation on your team, what you're going to do with these guys when you turn around and pay one person and then you have hold-ins or quasi-hold-ins. Once training camp starts, how do you explain that? And if the predictions are correct and you have, you know, a 1-win season or 3-win seasons and everybody's coming to you in the offseason with their hands out saying like, okay, hey, just like last year, right? You know, I don't get it. I really don't. I don't want to complain about them spending money, and so I'm split.
I
look at it and I go,
when it's these guys, I do. When you're spending money on so forgettable players, I do want to complain
about
it.
We're making the assumption that it's going to be at the expense of anything coming from the outside for the offense. And so I feel like that's jumping to a conclusion that I don't really know. Like, the only evidence that I have of that is the Calvin Ridley situation.
Thank you. That's what I was
saying. That's the only evidence that we have that there has been them pointing to one guy and saying, we're not going to overpay for somebody from the outside. We're going to shore up what we have on the side of the ball that we like. And so, like, that's the only situation I can point to that. I don't know that there haven't been, that they haven't been kicking the tires on Ayuk and saying, like, whoa, that price is going to be way too much. And we're going to have to pay him multiple times, essentially, for his contract situation.
I don't know that either.
I don't know that that's the case. I would guess it probably is.
But what do you think? Thank you. Thank you. What do you think?
So, like, I'm split on this. I got to look at it and say, like, if anything else, you're setting a really weird precedent.
I'm not split.
When you're not addressing Holden's.
I'm not split. If you like Jelani Tavai, this is what I said about Ramondre Stevenson. What's the rush to pay these guys now? And, like, what, instead of throwing money at Stevenson and Tavai, who don't need contracts, couldn't you use that money to throw in a little extra on your offer to Calvin Ridley? I connected exactly to that. So it's like, you don't have to pay these guys right now. And there's no rush to pay these guys right now. There is a rush to get a receiver for Drake May to throw to. At least there should be. There should be an urgency to upgrade the offense. Stevenson was on the team either way. Tavai was on the team either way. Godchow, I'm not giving you another penny because you're on the team either way. Judon has made the best case for getting paid and tearing up his deal, but you already got fronted money last year and you were hurt. So, like, I'm not really even itching to pay him, but I think he has the best case to pay for guys who are under contract. Like, I don't get the rush. And if you're telling me I could throw new money at Stevenson, new money at Tavai, and subtract another player, Duggar or whoever, and they're not back and I get Calvin Ridley, that's what I wish they did. And the real truth in the matter, Arkand, is they had money to pay everybody,
right,
and they're choosing not to.
Yeah, they absolutely could have. They could have paid everyone they wanted to. They could have extended everybody that they wanted to, all their unrestricted free agents, all these guys now who had a year left on their deal, like Barmore and, you know, all these other guys that just got paid. Like, they could have done all of that and also spent. What they're doing right now here is really pushing all their chips into the middle of the idea that, okay, this team last year, almost exactly how it was constituted, with a couple of changes, one big one at quarterback, but for the most part, basically the exact same team, is so much better than what you saw last year. What you saw last year was a mirage. What you saw last year was a team that should have been much better, and they weren't, because Bill Belichick didn't know how to coach him and he didn't know what he was doing.
Right.
And that's what they're saying. That's what all of this is saying to me. That's how they're speaking it. That's what all of the actions and everything are saying. And that's just such a big bet to make on a 4-win team.
Well, and you're going to expose yourself by bringing all these guys back. Like, you're going to be exposed.
Yeah.
If you bring these guys back and the team's equally bad, well, then it wasn't Bill. It's the crappy roster, and it's your lack of investment in the team. So I would have, and I said this all along, and I got tons of pushback. Oh, well, there are good players on the team. Why wouldn't you bring back some players from last year? Everybody on the team last year was bad? Yeah, kind of. And I definitely don't need guys like this back.
They weren't good enough to win more than four games.
Yeah, and look at some of the trash quarterbacks they lost to last year. Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Love the signing. Tavai is not a Jag, Mego.
Oh, you're right. You know what? When I was at the Brady ceremony, it was crazy because I was like, oh, these people with the Tavai jerseys, they don't appreciate the past.
Well, the whole Gillette, the whole thing, all 60,000, 68,000, whatever it was for Brady and I were like, when are they signing Tavai? When are they going to do it? And again, that's
Jelani
fine.
Jelani Tavai could have probably walked through the crowd.
That's fine.
Not been recognized by that
many people.
I'm
not saying he's not a nice player.
It's a good player.
You can be a good player.
Well, you did call him a Jag.
Okay, that's a nice player.
Is it?
That's a good player.
I don't know
that's
if that's
just another.
I don't
guy,
know if that's the it? Implication, but whatever. I'm fine with you calling him
he's
a Jag. I have no problem. I just wouldn't. Now you can't turn around and be like he's good. Like, you called him a Jag. That's fine. He is a Jag. I don't disagree with you.
He was one of the better Patriots. Like, you could say that at least.
Okay, but like to me, again, even if he is a nice player and you want to pay him, you have to do it right this second. Like, what's the rush to do it now? Why couldn't you add from outside to the team this offseason and then actually deal with your impending free agents when they're free agents? Like, you didn't need to pay Stevenson now. You didn't need to pay Tavai now. And maybe you saved a few bucks. Maybe. I can't imagine Tavai goes out and has another year like last year and his number goes up all that much. This is the number now, and there's no one else bidding on it. Maybe it goes up slightly. No one wants Jelani Tavai.
A
I got
year
news
like
for
last
you.
Year. What kind
I have
of
no idea. I have no clue. I don't know.
He was tied for second on the team in tackles.
Yeah, tackles. Who cares? He fell on top of
Do
some
they
piles.
Do tackle guys in football? Does that happen
you know what?
On every single play?
You know why the Patriots probably had good tackle numbers? Because guess what? The other team had the ball the whole game, and they needed to tackle the other team.
Do they have a running back lead in receiving yards again? Because I feel like they're not focusing on stats that actually are
the
probably
whole,
more important than other stats.
The whole thing is annoying. It's annoying is what it is. And so I don't get what they're trying to do. I really don't get the plan. I don't agree with the plan. And I am going to complain about them paying some players. Here's my general stance. Pay good players. And don't pay guys who don't need to be paid, A. And B, aren't really that good. Tavai was good, for a 4-win team last year, I guess. Is he actually good? Jury's out. Don't get why they're paying him. Didn't need to pay him. Same thing with Ramondre Stevenson. Same thing with Godchaw. If heaven forbid they give him a dime, they shouldn't. And that's how I feel about it. The whole thing is weird.
It's just, again, I think it goes back to precedent. And I don't understand what they're trying to set. It seems like they're being inconsistent. And I think it's going to be a little, it could cause a little weirdness with the team when some of your better players, like, I do think Godchaw is a good player. And so he's been paid before. That's the precedent you set for him, by the way. He's like Bill Belichick was here. He's a bigger hard ass than you guys are, and he paid me. And now I'm sitting here like watching Tavai get paid.
Yeah, the number just went up. If you're Matt Judon, the number just went way up.
I was just going to say, like, are they doing this so they can go, oh, listen, Matt, we really like you, Matthew. We really think that you're important to this team, but we did just sign Jelani Tavai. We did just sign.
Josh Uche got all that money.
If I'm Judon, I'm going, I don't care. Like, I make an impact on this team and have made an impact on this team year after year after year, and you're just finding more guys to pay that are not me.
People were asking yesterday, or maybe it was a text earlier today, I forget. Has it ever happened that a championship team has gone out and sold like moments after they won? I can't think of one. I also can't think of a team that won 4 games and is locking the whole roster up. Like, I also can't think of that. But unprecedented times in Boston. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on the phones talking Pats. We'll get back into the Celtics. Real quick, Skelly 513, S. Kelly 513 in the Twitch chat corrects me. Chara left. I forgot Chara left.
Chara did leave, yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
The other guy's retired.
He was in Washington.
Yeah. Capitals, Washington Islanders. Yeah. You go to the Islanders as well?
At the end.
He went to a couple of. I actually totally forgot about that. Thumbs up in the back from intern Jacob. Hat tip there to the Twitch chat. My mistake. We'll get to your phone calls here coming up. We'll get back to your feelings on Whit Grosbeck selling the Celtics. That's next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.